brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. It's such a privilege for me to do this program, such a privilege to be able to speak to you, to share what I think, some of the wisdom that God has given me. But I love doing this program because what I experience is being more in touch with God's people, your emails, the support you've given me, the insight, the questions that you've asked. All of that, in a certain way, I feel like I know you, even though if I saw you, I wouldn't know your face, I wouldn't recognize you. But I see across all the people who keep in contact with me, I see the whole gamut of what we're dealing with and what we're fighting and all of our desire to follow the Lord and to follow Him more closely. And the times we get discouraged and the times we triumph, I have a little glimpse into that through your lives. And I just want you to know how privileged I experience it all and how much I pray for you and how much I want you to grow more and more so that when we all stand before the judgment seat of God, when that day comes for each one of us, that we can be together for all eternity. Really, that's true. It's not just a nice saying, as I often say. It's true. So let's take a look at the first reading today from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 to 6. This word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Rise up. Be off to the potter's house. There I will give you my message. I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, working at the wheel. Whenever the object of clay which he was making turned out badly in his hand, he tried again, making of the clay another object of whatever sort he pleased. And then the word of the Lord came to me. Can I not do to you, house of Israel, as this potter has done, says the Lord? Indeed, like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, house of Israel. The Lord wants us to be teachable, malleable. The Lord wants to teach us to draw very near to Him so that we can be more and more conformed to His image and likeness. And that's when we'll be most who we honestly are. All our personality, our individuality, in a sense, will become even more clear. We are all children of God, but the more we recognize that we're children of God, the more the graces and gifts that God has given each one of us can shine forth and contribute. My life, no matter if it seems hidden, my life literally contributes to the building of the body and blood of Christ. It contributes to the building of the kingdom. That's what God's about. He's not looking at a kingdom. He's looking at each one of us. And He loves you. And He wants you to draw very, very near to Him, that we become like clay, that when the Lord says go right, we go right, or left, or stand still. I mean, those are human analogies, but an attentiveness to God, a waiting on the Lord. Lord, speak, for your servant is listening. I might say that for a month and nothing stands out, nothing changes, and then I pick up the scriptures one day and it's almost like, it isn't really, but it almost feels like there's one verse or several verses that are just popping out in front of my eyes that I never saw before. And there are words I need to hear. We need to play our part, but if we do play our part, giving God time every day, and God will abundantly bless, and He will build His relationship with us. That's what He's about, is building His relationship with us, that we might be with Him forever, for all eternity. Blessed is he, says the responsorial psalm, blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob. Blessed is he. Put not your trust in princes, in the sons of men in whom there is no salvation. When his spirit departs, he returns to his earth. On that day his plans perish. Don't put your trust in the things of this world. Enjoy them if they're there and they're good. Enjoy them, but don't put your trust in them. Blessed he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Blessed be the one who depends on God. Blessed be the one who relies on God. Blessed be the one who spends time with God every day. That's a sign of where we're putting our emphasis. If it's this token, hi God, gotta run. If it's like that token, don't make that a daily practice, because it won't lead you into union with him. You want your relationship with him to grow deeply. That's what you want. So open your heart that you might receive that. And the gospel for today is taken from Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 13, verses 47 to 53. Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea, which collects fish of every kind. When it is full, they haul it ashore and sit down to put what is good into buckets. What is bad, they throw away. Thus it will be at the end of the age. The angels will go out and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace, where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." In other words, the moment of judgment is clear. It will come. "Do you understand all these things?" And they answered, "Yes." And he replied, "Then every scribe who has been instructed in the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old." And when Jesus finished these parables, he went away from there. Brothers and sisters, there are things in our lives that are both new and old. And it says here, Scripture says clearly, the head of the household, that is the Lord, who brings from his storeroom both the new and the old. Things that we've learned from the time we were children, in that sense, old. I'm just using this as an analogy. When we look at what we learned as a child and how we absorbed it, or when we started to read the Old Testament, when we were getting the history and the background, the understanding of people, and then the ways in which God worked with people, it's only Scripture says here that the head of the household brings from his storeroom both the new and the old. There are things you learned as a child you need to carry to the grave. And there are things that you may have come to see very recently that are directly from the hand of God, enriching you, touching your life, changing your life. Bring forth the old and the new. Go back to the catechism. Read the catechism. Read, "This is what I was taught from the time I was a child. Do I hold on to those things? Or have I let the modern culture say, oh, well, that was just a story. Or, you know, God's a figment of somebody's imagination." I mean, that's taking it a little far. But we can get so jaundiced by life. We can get so, burned out from life, that we take everything that God has taught us, both the old and the new, and we just discard it, because all we want is something new, something to capture us, something to take our attention, something to absorb us. When in reality, God is handing out to us all that will lead us to himself. Will we treasure the old? Will we receive the new that does actually come from the hand of God, not from somebody else? Will we take out of the storehouse both the old and the new? And will we live out of that? I remember, I don't know about you, but I remember first and second grade. I remember my first communion. I remember my first confession. I remember it vividly. And I remember what I knew then, what I understood about God then, which wasn't a whole lot, really. Even though I was given great truths, I didn't have the mind yet to absorb them. But I had them there. And fortunately, I came from a family where that was fostered all my life, encouraged all my life, that I know him and come to love him and come to follow him. So brothers and sisters, we want that everything that God has given us, everything, we want to hold it, whether it was something we learned way back or something now. And of course, it matures. And of course, we might say it differently than we said as a child. But have I cast aside some of the great truths of God? Have I come to a place where I pick and choose what I like, what I will believe, what I won't like, what I don't believe? Are we into that? If we've come to that, we need to change. Not because you've got to get it right, but because God has so much to give us when we turn to him and say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." Let me just share with you before I close this program. In Magnificat magazine, there was an article by a Father Joseph Kotursky, a Jesuit, on strengthening our prayer life. And he said this: finding a way to keep our prayer lives vibrant can be difficult, but there are some simple practices that can help. One is making sure that you have a time for prayer every day, that it's priority. Can't be changed unless there's an emergency. And making a daily examination of conscience, he says. Those two things. That at the end of the day, I take a few minutes and I just look back over my life. You know, the old custom of kneeling down before your bed, before you get into bed, kneeling down and just taking a few moments and go back over the day, repent for where you failed and ask God for grace. Those things can be very, very important. Having a regular prayer time that's protected and taking a few minutes at the end of the day to examine your conscience. He says a little preparation, like I just described, can go a long way. It helps to figure out what grace to request. Having that in mind can help us determine what text from Scripture to use. I might see the area, look it up in a concordance where all the words of the Bible are there, and the verses, the books of the Bible, and the verses that you need to look up, because that word is living and active. That word has power to help you to change. So having that in mind can help us determine what text from Scripture to use, how to approach it, how to ponder it, and then how do we make a decision when we see, okay, I've got this weakness. This is a pattern of sin in my life. Lord, I bring this before you. I want to change. Will you teach me? And then you read the gospel passages that apply, or the other parts of Scripture that apply to your situation, and ask that living word to touch your heart and to change you. God will do that. God will do that. Brothers and sisters, I pray that you may grow in faith, that you may become lights that shine out in the darkness of our world today. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.